Before I introduce Kevin, I want to thank Antonio Mason for sharing with us this last Wednesday night. And if you didn't watch the video, please watch it. At the time of this taping, over 3,000 people have watched it. Probably by the time you're seeing me, you know, maybe well over 5,000 people will have seen it. God is using Antonio in that message to influence people like myself, to hear the heart of a brother in Christ who shares from his own sense of pain and experience. And if you want to know why some of the stuff's happening or, you know, some of the rationale behind it, watch that video. You can find it on Facebook and, you know, ask a friend if you've not already seen it. And if you haven't yet, share it with another person. Let's let the message of God's grace go, you know, around our community and around the world. You know, emotions, as we start this new series, emotional sickness, emotion sickness. We all have emotion sickness. We all have these emotions, and especially time of this racial tension in our world. We have the opportunity to not allow our emotions to add to the pain in the world, but to step in and embrace the feelings of those who have been oppressed. But if our own emotions are not healed, are not safe with Christ Jesus, then we will simply add to the noise. We will simply take away from those who have been in pain for a long time. And we, as followers of Christ, are called upon to bring health and healing, not hurt and heartache. I love Micah 6:8, which says to act justly. That's for us, church, to act justly, to love mercy. When we see something that injustice and unmerciful, we're to step in. And then the last part of that verse says to walk humbly. So much of the time the church can be arrogant, and as Christ followers, we can say that we have the answers and we own the Bible. And no, we can't do it. And, you know, to love justice, be merciful, and to walk humbly. Sometimes it's easy to read in a book, but it's very hard to do. But see, Micah doesn't leave us there. He says, here's how you're going to do it. You got to read the last part of that verse that says, and to do it with your God, to walk in these ways with your God. Only way that we're going to do this is to allow God to have our emotions. If we don't allow him to have our emotions, those emotions are going to guide us in ways that you never wanted to go. You'll be in fights and arguments and political stress and beating up people that you never wanted to enter into. Our world has proved what it looks like without God when our emotions control us. You know, today, Pastor Kevin is going to come and show us from God's word how to do that, how to submit our emotions to him. And I'm so looking forward to that. So I want you to get your notes out now. But before he comes, I want to tell you about my friend, Dr. Jeremy Upton. He's spoken here at Church on the Ridge before, but we have the privilege of having him next weekend right here. And he's from a predominantly black community outside of Miami. And he'll be sharing from that perspective, from a biblical, theological perspective of what a black person feels like in this nation where, you know, we have this systemic racism. So don't miss that and invite a friend. But right now, I want to invite my favorite discipleship pastor at Church on the Ridge to come, Pastor Kevin. God yes. bless you, brother. Can I touch you? And we're still in COVID. Somebody's going to get us.
I like that I'm your favorite disciple. I'm your only discipleship pastor.
Really?
Yeah. It's good, though.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you for sharing with us. And, you know, folks, be ready to listen. God's got a word for us through our friend.
Yeah. No, I 100% believe that, because what I'm going to be talking about today really has stemmed from God convicting my own heart and doing a work of my own life and going from there. But I want to take you back to, I don't know if you remember much about fifth grade, but there's certain memories that I have that just, they stick out so clearly that, man, it was left with one of those implanted memories. And I had a really great fifth grade teacher, and he allowed us to plan our own field trip. So where do we go? We went to Victoria, Canada, and we planned out the itineraries. And all I really remember is going to the wax museum, because there's some really cool medieval wax statues. But here's the part that I remember the most. It was on our way home. So we're getting on top, or getting inside the Victoria Clipper. And I think we're going through the Strait of Juan de Fuca. And as we're going, it's going fine. Everyone kind of likes being on the boat. But sure enough, out of nowhere, those clouds come in. And as those clouds are coming in, then comes the wind. And as the wind comes in, the waves start coming in, and the waves start going back and forth, and the whole boat is just turning upside down side and not flipping over. But it's waving in there, and I'm looking around, and I notice something. My classmates, the majority of my classmates, they're laying down, they're pale, they're throwing up, they're going to the bathroom and not coming out. I was like, what is going on? Well, for me, my dad and my granddad and his dad and his dad and pretty much every generation of my family, they've all been sailors. I'm the first person, the first generation of my family to not work on a boat. And so I'm pretty good. I'm sitting there with my hot chocolate and it's kind of spilling, but that's normal for me anyway. I spill my hot chocolate all the time. And I'm just looking around going, what is going on? What is with this puke fest right now? They're all motion sickness. They're all seasick. And I went, whoa, this is a pretty terrible moment for most people. And I don't know if you've experienced that before, but what it is that there's actually a disconnect, a dissonance in your feelings. You're perceiving one thing, but your body is feeling something else. And this is a terrible feeling, but it's probably an even more terrible feeling when that happens with our emotions. And we're in this series of motion sickness, and it could happen anytime, just like that waves when they came in and all of a sudden the boat started waving around. We can be hanging out with friends, or we're just at work or watching the news. All of a sudden, these emotions start to stir up within us, and you're going, where did that come from? But then these outbursts start coming in, and you go, whoa, that was unhealthy. That is something that I don't want to be a part of. And here's the crazy thing. Right now you take our normal life with our crazy emotions. You add on top of that 3 months of quarantine, of being sheltered. You add on top of that George Floyd and the riots and the protests and everything going on right now. And we're like in this emotional roller coaster of a society. And they're coming out. I promise you. I've been talking to people in my own community group. I've been talking to my friends. And man, people are hitting these emotional breaking points. And one way or another, these emotions are just spilling out. And we kind of wonder, where did that come from? There's a disconnect between what I should be emotion, what I should be feeling, and what's actually going on in my heart. And this journey of kind of discovering your emotions and seeing where that came from, this was a journey that I started about a year ago. And someone asked me this question, just no harm in this question. They said, hey, what's the worst part about your job? Working at Church on the Ridge as discipleship pastor, what's the worst part of your job? Well, easy answer, right? Working with Jeff Mahal. Kidding. I love Jeff. Jeff, you know I love you. Jeff makes working at church so awesome. But I thought about that question for a minute and I said, well, okay. Yeah, the worst part about my job is the meetings that I'm in. Now, not the one-on-one meetings or even my group meetings, but my leadership team meetings, which was crazy because my team members, our leadership team, are amazing people. You couldn't have chosen a better group to work with. And what we're doing, I could not be more passionate about. I could work with a great team with something I'm completely passionate about. And so I go, this is not a like Church on the Ridge problem or even a team problem. This is a Kevin problem. There's something going on inside of me in these meetings, and I'm getting frustrated in these meetings. And I'm experiencing things in these meetings where I might not feel like I'm valued as much because maybe somebody else's opinion I feel like is valued over my opinion. They're heard more so than I'm heard. And I have these like roller coaster of emotions because I get really excited over the top excited. And then other times I feel like the wind in my sail is just like taken out. And then my sail is like broken and burned. And I walk out of these meetings just tired and frustrated and mad. And I go, this is not right. this shouldn't be. This emotional sickness that I'm facing is something I've got to work on. Because when these emotions, when they flood over us, I knew there was a way to manage these. And so I don't know if you can relate to that. Maybe you're at home with kids, and as you're parenting, you're having a great day, and these kids do something, and they do something, and they do something, and then all of a sudden, you're experiencing emotions that you never even knew existed inside of you. Or you're just hanging out with friends, and you're talking, and then somebody says something, and it's like, these are my friends. These are people I should just be enjoying life with, but these emotions, they just come out of nowhere. Or maybe you're just watching the news, and you're seeing everything that's happening right now, and they come out. And so as I was looking through this, I was trying to figure out what's going on. And we learned about this 2 weeks ago as we're studying Joseph, that we're not gonna let my circumstance determine my happiness. But that's exactly what was happening. I'm in these meetings and my joy is for sure being stolen. And so as I began to press into this issue a bit, I discovered this concept, and I'm sure many of you have probably heard of it, but it was called emotional intelligence. And just the simple definition of emotional intelligence is this. It's to be aware of, so can I actually identify what's going on inside of me? To be aware of, to control, that's a whole nother topic. Like I may be aware that I'm frustrated, but can I actually manage that? And express one's emotions. And all that is about self. But look at the second half of this. And to handle interpersonal relationships wisely and empathetically. So it's one thing for me to understand emotional intelligence and what's going on inside of me. But a part of this is also understanding other people. When they start to get irritated, when they start to erupt, it's probably something I said anyway. But I should be able to pick up on that and learn how to work through some of this. And so emotional intelligence, man, God was convicting my heart saying, Kevin, this is an area that I want you to grow in. I want you to be able to manage these feelings in your meetings. I want you to be able to express yourself. Even when you're feeling that frustration, you still need to be able to articulate the word I've put on your heart and how to influence other people in that meeting. What emotional intelligence does is it takes the emotions of the group and allows us to align them so that we can still accomplish great things. So two things I learned about emotional intelligence. Number one, and this is really good news, is this is a learnable skill. It's not like your personality. You get your personality and you're stuck with it for good or for bad. Right? So that's your personality. That's the way God made you. Emotional intelligence, you may start with a certain level of emotional intelligence, but you can grow it. Good news, because we all can grow. The second thing is this, emotional intelligence is the number one predictor of a leader's long-term success. So I thought, whoa, this is gonna be a good study and a good journey for me to be on. But think about emotions for just a moment. Emotions are God's design. This is the way God made us. If you read John 15:5, Jesus said, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you will produce no fruit, but with me, you will produce much fruit. So think about that. You connect to Jesus, the true vine, and in you, he's gonna produce fruit. And it's not like an apple is gonna come out of your hand. When he talks about the fruit, we get into Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, this is the type of fruit that the Holy Spirit's gonna produce in you. He's gonna produce in you love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And notice what these nine things are. They're emotions. God created us when we connect to him. These are the emotions that will be an outpouring, an outcome of being connected to Jesus. Now, with all these emotions, man, that's what brings the color to life. It's what helps us connect with people. It's what brings that passion out of us and experience life and life to the fullest. And Jesus said that. I want to bring you life and life to the fullest. But as you read that verse in John 10:10, look at the first part of that verse. I says, but still, there's an enemy. And that enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And we've all experienced the rotten side of emotions, that bitterness, that shame, that fear. And what do these do? They kill, they steal, and they destroy. Have you ever had these emotions kind of come up inside of you and then you let it burst out and it destroys a relationship? I've seen it. Or even in your own life, maybe you're having a great day or a great meeting or whatever it is, and those emotions start to well up, and these are the rotten emotions inside of you. And they steal away the passion or the joy or what you're working on. They even separate us from God. Think about Adam and Eve. When they did something they were not supposed to do, they experienced shame. Shame is an emotion. And instead of going to God and going, God, we're experiencing this new emotion, it doesn't feel right, they hid. They try to hide from God. And we do the same thing today. These emotions creep up and we go, that's not right, but we hide it away. We don't talk about it. We certainly don't bring it up to God. And that's the enemy. That's the enemy. We have emotions made by God for us to experience life, love, and joy, and peace. And then the enemy has his own set of emotions that he tries to ruin our own lives with. Emotions are a big part of who we are and how we experience life. And with COVID and being quarantined and racism and riots, man, we are experiencing emotions right now on an unprecedented level. It's like our emotions are on a gravitron. Do you remember what the gravitron was? You go to the fair, it's that like gold ride and you like, it goes round and round and round really fast and you stick to the walls. It's my favorite ride as a kid. Well, as an adult, I went on the gravitron with my wife. We were going on a date to the fair and I went on it once and I was sick the rest of the day. My wife was so upset. She's like, why did you go on the gravitron? I was like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know it was going to make me sick. That's what our emotions are like right now. They're like on an emotional gravitron. They're just going around and around and around, and they're making us sick. But here's the interesting thing about emotions. And right now, the season that we're in, these emotions aren't necessarily a bad thing. Because these emotions are revealing something within us. They're pulling back the layers and giving us a glimpse into our heart and what we believe and how we think, our thought patterns, and what we value. Here's a key phrase I want you to remember today. Your emotions are a gauge, not a guide. Now, think about your car, right? You have your indicator lights, you have your gauges. And when they flash, it's like, oh, I should go change my oil, or I need to go put air in my tire. It's like they inform you for what's going on under the hood. They're not MapQuest, they're not Google Maps. They're not telling you where to go. It's just, hey, there's an indication that something needs to be worked on. That's what our emotions are. There are indications in our life saying something is going on in your heart right now that needs to be worked on. What emotions are not is saying, hey, you should go be led to do this now. Too often I've seen my own self get led by emotion and the outcome is not good. And so today we're just gonna take a practical look under the hood at our heart a bit. And we're starting this series, Emotional Sickness. And today we're gonna talk about a very practical 3 steps that's gonna help us process these emotions and find out the way that God has designed us to live. The way the engine should have been built or should be running, the way our hearts should be operating. And so we'll put this into practice, and it'll take a bit of work, but I promise you, if you put this into practice, you're gonna discover some new things about yourself that will be life-changing. So here we go. Step number one is simply this. Identify your emotions. Identify your emotions. So when you look at emotions, there's really 5 core emotions. And out of these 5 core emotions, there's different levels of intensity. And that's what we call different emotions. So it's joy and sadness, anger, fear, and shame. And so if just take joy, for example, if you have really intense joy, then you might be thrilled or you might be passionate. You're kind of a little bit of joy, moderate amount of joy, you might be cheerful, or hey, I'm feeling good, right? Most people are feeling good, right? They have a moderate amount of joy in their life. Or if you just have this lower intensity of joy, then you might be content or pleasant or pleased. And if you look at the intensity levels of all five of these emotions, you're going to see pretty much all the feelings that we may experience, right? With sadness, I'm depressed. Or maybe I'm just distressed a little bit, or I'm kind of unhappy. Or with anger, I'm furious, I'm outraged. Or like I was saying in my meetings, hey, I'm frustrated. Or maybe that lowest level is, hey, I'm a bit annoyed right now or irritated. With fear, you can be terrified. Or maybe you're just a bit insecure. Or maybe just kind of cautious or worried. And then the last one I talked about already, shame. Then I feel worthless. I feel embarrassed. Maybe the lowest level of shame is, I'm just kind of feeling uncomfortable in this situation. And so as we get to identifying your emotions, ask God to help reveal these emotions in your life. Usually we experience that spike, that intensity level, and then we just kind of move on and try to do something to help refuel us or get the stress out of our life. But what I'm saying is, hey, let's step back and reflect on that emotion and identify it. And I love what David wrote in Psalm 139. He wrote, God, see what is in my heart. Know what is there. What is he saying? He said, God, reveal that emotion in my life. Help me identify what it is. You read through Psalms and you see David continue to write about all the emotions that he feels and that he shares with the Lord. And so this is a very practical step. And it simply just is making time. I'm gonna give you a little bit of time at the end of the gathering today to do this, but probably the two best times to do this is one right after it happens. Right after it happens and you're out of that situation, step back and reflect, whoa, what did I just experience? The other time I would encourage you to do it is during your first 7 minutes. Are you waking up and spending those first 7 minutes with the Lord? During that time, take a couple minutes and reflect back on your previous day or days. And I've been doing that this last few weeks. And sometimes it's easy and boom, right away, an emotion comes to mind, not hard. Other times I have to sit there for a few minutes and nothing really comes in. That's okay. Maybe you might pull something from a few days ago or maybe there's nothing. So number one is we're gonna identify what that emotion is. Step two, and this is the hard step. This is the one that takes some practice. It's ask where those emotions came from. And really, this is where I started to make some progress in my own life because I'd be in these meetings and I'd be frustrated and man, I could identify that I was frustrated. That was the easy part. But when I said, where is that frustration come? Why, when somebody said that, did I get so angry or so upset or so passionate? And then honestly, it takes a bit of courage to be able to ask these type of questions because you're gonna be honest with yourself and you're pulling back the fakeness and you're seeing what's really in your heart. But it's so important because when you can figure out the why or the where did it come from, then you can begin to identify those thought patterns or those values that you hold in your own heart. And believe it or not, those values and those thought patterns that we experience often don't line up with the way that God had designed us. Listen to this verse in Romans 12:2. It says, don't live the way the world lives. Now, often in the world, our emotions will drive us and we'll hey, I feel this and I'm gonna take action. Like what's going on inside? There's no way that my thought process could be wrong. That's my thoughts. Here he's writing, no, don't live that way. He says, look at this. He says, let your way of thinking be completely changed. We've actually got to change the way we think about things. Just because we think something doesn't mean it's right or doesn't mean it's truth. Because if we do that, then we'll be able to test and see what God wants for you. And the thing about God's plan, he writes it right here. You'll agree it's right because God's plan is what? It's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. You can't beat that. So when we compare what I was thinking and how I was processing a situation to God's way is the perfect way. God's way is what Jesus talked about when he said, I'm gonna give you life and life to the fullest. Let me give you an example. I've got two examples because this takes some practice to get used to and takes some work to kind of figure out what this means. Example one would be this. I'm sending out an email, and these are both real examples from my own life that I reflected on this last week. I'm about to send an email out, and I'm worried about it. I'm worried about how it'll be received, and I'm worried about what it'll do to make me, what it'll make me look like when the person who reads it. And so step one is what? Identify the emotion. Well, the emotion is worry. I'm worried. But now here we go to step two, the work. Well, why am I worried? Well, I'm worried because I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to be seen as less than or as someone who is incompetent. I want to be seen as a leader who's effective. Why is that important to me? Well, it's important to me because I want other people's approval. I want them to like me. I want them to accept me. And as I say that out loud, I go, that's silly. Because I know that my approval doesn't come from other people. It comes from God. God said, Kevin, you are enough. Kevin, I have a plan for you. Romans 12:2. I need to begin changing the way I'm thinking. It doesn't matter what other people think of me. What matters is, as I'm sending this email out, am I conducting myself in a way, in a manner that honors God? And if I'm doing that, if I'm living my life in a way that honors God, that is pleasing to him, then who cares what other people think? If I'm writing this email and I know it's glorifying the Lord, they're going to receive it as they're going to receive it then. And when I articulate that process, I can begin to change the way I think. When I think, why am I worried about this email going out? I simply ask myself, did I do it in an honoring way to God? Then I don't need to worry about it. Here's another example. Example two is a couple weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go golfing with my wife, which was awesome because she's never golfed with me. It was the first time she's ever been golfing as an adult. I think she went once as a kid. And it was so fun. I had so much joy and I was calm. My spirit was calm. And so the emotion that I identified was peaceful. I go, man, I had peace about that. I had joy. And I asked the question, why was that strange? Why was that weird? Why was I experiencing peace? Because when I golf, I don't always experience peace. Hello, sometimes I take a shot and my emotions are all over the map. And I think anyone who is competitive can say the same thing. But in this instance, I was peaceful. And I thought about it, and it's because, well, I wasn't trying to prove anything. I wasn't trying to put my identity into a scorecard or into, you know, beating somebody else on the course. No, my identity is not in my performance. I'm good enough because God says I'm good enough. Romans 12:2, right? I'm changing my thinking. Instead of getting frustrated about the shot that I just took or about how I'm not playing well, and I didn't even play well that evening when I played with my wife, I go, no, I'm going to change my thinking and go, I know what God says, and whether I shoot an 80 or 180 on the golf course, my identity is firm in who God says I am. Because I know this, I know that God sent his son Jesus for me, and that means I'm valuable. And guess what? He sent his son Jesus for me while I was still a sinner. While I was still actively going against God's plan for my life, he sent his son to die for me because I'm enough. And so when I just take a step back and go, wait a second, why am I putting my identity into this performance or this outcome? My identity should be firmly secured in who God says I am. This is step two. It's the difficult part. It's discovering the emotions that we're experiencing and then saying, hey, where does that come from? Like I said, it takes practice. And when I first started, I could identify the emotion, but then that's about as far as I could get. Find somebody who is a bit more emotionally intelligent than you are and ask them to help you process through this. I still do this. I go, Jamie, I was so upset in my meeting. Like, okay, let's talk about it. I identified the emotion. Why? Why did that make you so upset? And somebody else that helps me walk through that process. It takes work, but it's good because we're changing our heart to God's design. It's good that we're experiencing these emotions right now. Because just like James 1 says, that when you face trials of many kinds, you consider it pure joy. When we face these emotional trials going on inside of us, it's revealing things in us, giving us the opportunity to discover something that's not right in our heart and realign it with God's design for our lives. I could have gone another year just being frustrated in my meetings. It probably would have destroyed my relationships with my teammates because I would have left every meeting upset and angry and frustrated with them. But instead, you take these emotions and you press into it and you ask the hard question of why and you begin revealing what's going on in your own heart. So here's the last step, final step. Number three is take what you've learned and have an honest conversation with God. One of the main ways that we build a close relationship with God is through emotionally honest prayers, where we are simply being authentic with God. In Psalm 145, 18, this is what it says. It says, "The Lord is close to those who call on him. Yes, to those who call on him in truth." In truth. And so think about what we're doing here for a second. We're taking this yuck, this emotion, this emotional sickness, and we're trading it. This is probably the best deal you're ever going to come across. We're trading this emotional sickness for what? Three things: new discovery about ourselves, new deeper relationship with God, and a heart that is more aligned with his perfect plan for my life. I mean, you tell me, what do you want? Do you want that frustration, that emotional yuck, or do you want that plan that God has for your life in that close relationship with him? But it takes some work, right? You actually have to sit down and do this. You have to ask the hard questions, ask God to help you through this process, identify where those emotions, what they are, where they came from, and then share them with God. And so that's my challenge for you this week, is to do this. Try doing this every day. Try doing this in your first 7 minutes. But honestly, right now, I'm about to turn it back over to our band, to our worship team. And I want you to put this into practice right here, right now. Identify your emotions and process through them and have that conversation with God. And so let me pray for you. And when I'm done praying for you, take the next few moments to simply put this into practice. And let's change our hearts to the way that God designed them. So Father, I thank you that we have this opportunity to be in step with you, that you've created us with a plan and a purpose. And Lord, I know sometimes we mess it up and we experience things that takes our focus off of you, but right here in this moment, Lord, I pray that you would speak to every single person who is reflecting on some of their own emotions, they would get fresh revelation about who you are and your truth and your promises. And we'll be able to replace some of our own insecurities and some of our own inaccuracies in our heart, change our own